Chapter 9, Guns and Children, a Volatile Topic. On a farm 15 miles north of Floodwood, a town of fewer than 100 people in northern Minnesota, I spent my childhood summers. Hunting and firearms have been a part of my life from the time I was old enough to shoot a gun. I have hunted for almost half a century. I purchased a .32 caliber Colt pistol when I operated the scrapyard. Thinking I needed it for self-defense, I carried it with me every day. There was a great deal of crime and violence in my business and the neighborhood it was in. I also accumulated a collection of weapons that included a Thompson submachine gun. I have been threatened with a gun on one occasion, and I have almost used a gun in self-defense on another. This is not meant to recommend my past behaviors, only to point out that guns have played a role in my life. There is no doubt in my mind that possessing and carrying weapons during those years put me and other harmless people in more danger than if I had not owned guns. Over a 2-year period in my suburban neighborhood, 2 men were shot dead. One bullet in the head from a high-caliber pistol killed each one of them. Each shooting took place in the summer, just after dark, about 10 in the evening. Each man was walking his dog. Both men were white and about 40 years old. I did not attend the funerals. For many years after the shootings, my neighborhood lived in fear. I expect many dogs were not walked, and many night walks were canceled. I know I didn't walk at night. My wife never would. Our society has fostered an atmosphere where walking to your car at night after a movie can be a dangerous thing. Teachers in many city schools are afraid of going to their car after school hours. Recently, my family had foreign exchange students from Mexico live with us. The last young woman was rightly concerned about the dangers of our city streets, a fear she did not feel in her own hometown. Unsafe streets and blighted neighborhoods are a cost to us all. Caring for indigent mothers and their premature, underweight, fetal alcohol and crack cocaine positive babies is an enormous cost to this nation that could be substantially reduced through better legislative stewardship and smarter public policy. Many inner city people have become accustomed to street robbery, burglary, and theft as a part of their lot in life. They live in the hopeless cycle of protecting their children and their property from violent people who would harm their family. In some neighborhoods, crime is so common that much of it goes unreported. By being accepted as a part of everyday life, crime loses its horror, and children get used to it as the injustice that is visited upon them for being who they are. 75% of 1,000 African American elementary and high school students reported witnessing at least one robbery, shooting, stabbing, or murder. 72% of 5th and 6th graders in a Southeast Washington, D.C. elementary school saw at least one act of community violence. From the book Violence Against Children in the Family and the Community by Trickett and Schellenbach, 1998. In an Atlanta 1993 survey for the Center for Disease Control, 11.8% of 9th through 12th graders carried a gun to school. 24% said that they were offered an illegal drug. 7.3% said they were threatened or injured with a weapon while at school. 4.4% of the students skipped at least one day in the previous month because they felt unsafe. There are few topics as explosive as gun control, but fewer still that generate the frightening statistics and newspaper headlines. Students carry an estimated 270,000 guns to school every day. In a study of first and second graders in Washington, D.C., 45% said they had witnessed muggings, 31% said they had witnessed shootings, and 39% said they had seen dead bodies. In a study of eighth graders in Chicago, 73% reported that they had seen someone shot, stabbed, robbed, or killed. This from the book Crimes, Misdemeanors, and Violence, Statistical Record of Children, 2003. Last year in Chicago, police seized 10,509 guns. In that same year, about 18,000 inmates released from Illinois prisons came back to Chicago. This from writer George Will, Money and Lives, Minneapolis Tribune, February 25, 2005. So many young Americans are using lethal force to settle arguments that should have been fistfights. Thousands of misguided poor American children kill and are killed, or are put into wheelchairs and comas because they have grown up in crazy homes with no means to make sensible choices. The choices many of these children have are all bad. International handgun deaths, 1996. Germany, 213. Japan, 15. Great Britain, 30. New Zealand, 2. And the U.S., 9,390. The combined populations of Germany, Japan, Great Britain, and New Zealand are about 300 million people, compared to about 300 million Americans. An approximate population-to-population comparison would be about 360 handgun deaths for the combined nations versus 9,390 handgun deaths in America. In a typical year, over 30,000 Americans die of gunshot wounds. Almost three times that many are treated in emergency rooms for non-fatal gun injuries, costing over $100 billion per year. In all, over 750,000 Americans have been killed since 1960 in firearm-related homicides, suicides, or accidents. Author John D. Bessler, Kiss of Death, Boston Northeastern University Press, 2003. A 2001 Child Welfare League study states, firearm deaths of children in the U.S. are 12 times higher than in all the other industrialized nations combined. Also, that 66% of youth suicide attempts are with guns. Over 80% of their attempts are successful. In the early 1990s, the U.S. had 285,000 gun dealers, more gun dealers than gas stations. From John Dessler's book, Kiss of Death, Boston Northeastern University Press, 2003. A 1993 Lewis Harris poll about guns among American youth reports that 1 in 25 students carried a gun to school that month, and 59% of them knew where to get a handgun if they needed one. Does the ready availability of firearms in America encroach on our rights to live in a peaceful society? Is there a value we're sacrificing to have safe streets, gunfire-free neighborhoods, property in the city without bars, or in a growing number of states, windows without big signs banning guns on the premises? Have we let policymakers create dangerous and fearful communities? Call to action. Study the issues and make an effort to vote the best interests of children concerning the use of firearms in your community.